"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everybody. It was kind of the talk of my neighborhood today. It's cold. Isn't everybody cold? That was 42 when I walked outside this morning.
It's 39 where I was.
39. Deborah, yeah. Moore, can you beat us?
You know what? I was friggin' freezing. My hands were so cold, I didn't even look to see what the temperature was.
Oh, and you're
was.
The temperature lady.
I know, but I was cold. I had my hood on.
In Rancho Cucamonga right now, it's 48.
I say it was 30 where I was.
You're high up on that mountaintop.
I was shivering.
Yeah, it's probably colder.
Oh, where the coyotes roam.
Yeah, you're warmed by the ocean.
I can't look at my phone to check the temperature when I have to make sure no coyotes are around to attack my dogs.
Mountain lions.
Exactly.
Coyotes. Yeah. Yeah.
Everything's coming for you. Gorillas?
Oh,
no,
my.
No gorillas yet?
Okay. No,
they're gorillas loose in your town.
Alligators, crocodiles?
No. That's why I'm not going to go to Florida.
We begin with the last LA City Council meeting of the year. This was to bring in the new members. John's favorite, Tracy Park, was there. Several new members on the LA City Council. But
communists.
Yeah, and day two of the homelessness emergency. So I don't know if they addressed that, but they were supposed to.
Well,
Karen Bass declaring a homelessness emergency.
The city council has to approve this.
I think so. That's what we need to find out.
We keep running the alarm. Haven't they heard the alarm? We're in a state of emergency here.
I just found out she had one of my all-time favorite entertainers at her swearing in. Ooh. Stevie Wonder performed.
Is that right?
Yeah, I love Stevie Wonder. Kamala Harris was there. Gruesome was there. It's quite the star-studded event on Sunday.
Yeah, star-studded. Yeah.
Kevin DeLeon, of course, is also the story, and he did show up again at today's council meeting. We get more from Blake Foley, who's coming on and can answer, John, your question about the homelessness emergency declaration.
Yeah. Well, Blake, they passed it, approved it?
Yeah, they heard the alarm. Yeah, they just passed it moments ago. They passed the emergency. So
was it unanimous?
That's a good question. I still have to look at exactly how the vote fell in line. I just got an alert. I stepped outside the meeting to go live with you guys, but it did just pass. I was alerted. But yeah, Kevin DeLeon, I mean, again, it passed after a recess because, as you mentioned, Kevin DeLeon did attempt to attend today's meeting. And this meeting just, I mean, from before it even started, I knew it was going to be contentious. Protesters were lining out the front door to get inside the meeting. Police with riot gear were seen walking through City Hall. And again, it was off to the races in the chamber before the meeting even began. You mentioned Tracy Park. Protesters, as soon as she walked out, they took aim at her. They were yelling F you. They were calling her a Republican. They took aim at Council President Paul Krikorian, who you know, has been very spoken out about their chanting. And at one point, Paul Caret's name came up. And of course, they went after that. Paul Caret, who said F you to the protesters last week. So, you know, that really fired them up. But the man of the hour today for these protesters, of course, was Kevin DeLeon. They were chanting against DeLeon before he even showed up. Again, he didn't even show up to the meeting for probably about an hour, if not more than an hour. The meeting had already been going on. Here's them chanting long before he even shows up.
Arrest DeLeon!
Arrest
DeLeon!
Arrest,
right.
Arrest,
that's right. Just in the scuffle.
Arrest DeLeon! Arrest DeLeon!
Now, interestingly, it wasn't just...
Who's KDL? Is that a woman?
KDL.
I know, it's his initials.
It's his initials. Yeah, it's Kevin DeLeon. And if you hear that throughout, he's often referred to as KDL. But interestingly, people who support Kevin DeLeon were also in the crowd. A group of street vendors and others showed up to support him. I asked them, you know, why do you support Kevin DeLeon so much? They said for street vendors, he did a great job, I guess, bringing the Bureau of Sanitation together with street vendors to get their permits through. So they were pretty happy with what he did, and so they showed up today to show support. And at one point, there was a clash between, it wasn't even just one point, this happened a couple times, but I caught one, an interesting one, on there was a clash between KDL or Kevin DeLeon supporters and Kevin DeLeon protesters. So here's one of those clashes, and listen to the conversation played out right in front of me, right in the benches I was standing in front of. I just kind of pointed my mic towards it afterwards.
KDL keeps running from his constituents and hides out in charity photo ops, and it's not how he can represent CDC.
That's a lie!
It's true!
It's true!
Go kiss that cop over there. Go suck his dick.
Whoa. Oh my goodness. No.
So it got a little hot. It got a little hot.
That was not ladylike. Who did she say that to?
So that was somebody who opposes Kevin DeLeon speaking to somebody who supported supports.
And what did she
Kevin
want to
DeLeon.
Do to the cop?
No, she wanted
well,
you to
she
go
was,
over
she
it.
She was suggesting that the
You're making him explain it.
Yes.
Yeah. We can replay the clip. I think that might be the best way to do
how long,
to
I mean, I've heard a story this morning, Blake, that some of the city council members are a little nervous. They're afraid this is going to get really violent. They fear for their safety. Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, well, and I really want to get into when Kevin DeLeon shows up. You know, I know that has been one of the one of the talking points. I also asked even the people who support Kevin DeLeon. I said, "Are you guys a little worried to be here given all this contentiousness towards him?" They said, "Yes, but we're here to support him." And again, as you say, there's a little bit of that chat among city council members who are also feeling like this is unsafe. And you know, when Kevin DeLeon showed up today, and actually, let's just go to that first, and then we can start to explain some of the safety, because this is pretty important. This is where Kevin DeLeon shows up, and you can just hear, I mean, there was a lot of kind of ebbs and flows to the protest. It was kind of loud at moments, quiet, but as soon as he showed up, the room just absolutely exploded. So as you can hear,
that's
they're
really
yelling
civilized.
Loser.
Loser?
So So it was really interesting when he showed up, kind of the way he handled it. He just kind of looked down at his desk and really just disassociated. It appeared that he was just disassociating from the room. He was just kind of looking down while people yelled at him. City Council President Paul Krikorian, he went over to speak with De Leon. This conversation lasted 15 minutes. De Leon remained seated, so I'm curious to know what that conversation entailed. Then, you know, after at this point, the meeting has now been called to a recess. All the council members have left the chamber, but De Leon and his staff, they just kind of sat around and talking and spoke among themselves for like more than a half hour at least, while protesters just hurled chants at them. And then finally, at one point, he ended up leaving, and that's when the meeting came back. John, as you say, they heard the alarm. And declared a state of emergency, on homelessness.
They have to have a quorum to do that. So I guess they had enough council members stay.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
All right, Blake, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
It's Blake Trolley covering the madness at LA City Council. This will be the last time this year, though.
Oh,
they only got
bad.
Together today for the new members.
No more performances?
Not this year.
Oh, that's so sad.
No.
Now, when De Leon was sitting there for a half an hour with his staff, so everybody was screaming at them the whole time?
Well, half think about it. They already wanted him to resign over the recorded conversation. And then Friday, they now think he assaulted one of their co-activists. So they're double angry.
They are, really?
This is the first meeting since the Friday scuffle.
They're really this angry. Huh?
I don't what hear about, what that I'm lady said. To, Well, how often do you tell somebody to go over to that cop and,
I'm fascinated by the personal investment these people have in Kevin De Leon. It's just,
you
get that emotionally angry about things you really care a lot about.
We've been following on and off some of these activist groups for years. Like, we even know the names of them and what the People's Council or whatever. This time, though, they got themselves an audio recording. The whole world condemned it. It went all the way to Biden and Newsom, right?
Yeah.
So now they feel like they've really got an issue that they can hang on somebody. And it's De Leon because he didn't quit. That's it. I mean, Cedillo, but Cedillo's barely.
I'm amazed they care that much. With all the crap that really matters that they don't care about, this is what they do care about. And it's endlessly fascinating to me what people decide to care about in their lives.
I can't wait to see if Nuri Martinez ever tries to make a return to politics. Wow. These people will be back in force because she was the worst of the three in that conversation.
I hope Kevin De Leon keeps stonewalling him.
I think he will. This is the worst of it.
Yeah.
It has to peter off next year at some point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's how you deal with this stuff is you tell him to stuff it. And you don't even sit there with your head down like De Leon was doing. Just look right at him, wave, and smile.
I like the way he shows up fashionably late every time. Walks in an hour into the meeting.
Yeah. I mean, he's
probably because he says, well, I want them to get started so I don't become a distraction right away. Right?
You know, salary and benefits. I was reading something Daniel Gus sent us, and he said $298,000 worth of cash and prizes he got from LA city taxpayers last year. $298,000. He's not going anywhere.
No.
Would you give up $600,000 worth of cash and benefits? $600,000? No.
That's allegedly the reason he's showing up in person, because that could be at risk if he does not. That was kind of cloudy, that issue. I'm not sure. Because as long as his office performs a function, he doesn't have to attend every meeting.
That's right. I mean, the meetings are a small part of what a councilman does.
Does, right.
I mean, the rest of it is servicing constituents and trying to, you know, grease things for your donors. Or for, like, the vendors, right? The vendors have a problem with getting permits from the city sanitation department. So De Leon, you know, cracks some heads to get that done.
Yeah.
That's what council people do all day. Not these silly meetings. Yeah. All right. More coming up on the John and Ken Show. Blake Trolley told us a few minutes ago, city council has approved the state of emergency. So it's day two.
Yeah, it's
state
on.
Of emergency.
So now it's official. It's been approved by the other arm of the government.
They heated the alarm.
I wasn't in L.A. today. Were you? Did you notice people in a state of emergency?
They
went about their business?
People were up all night in my neighborhood. They were sitting on the roofs of their house.
Even more important, when you went to your usual places, were the homeless all gone? Because it's supposed to end that problem.
No. For the sixth time in a week and a half, homeless person in the bagel shop.
Oh, really? In the shop?
Oh, and standing in the In-N-Out line in Sherman Oaks. Homeless woman banging on my window as I'm waiting to get my order.
Oh, man.
Banging on my window.
I saw a homeless guy peeing on the wall as I was getting on the freeway at White Oak in Burbank.
There you go.
This morning.
That could cause a crash. What's going on?
I don't know. State of emergency and...
Yeah, it's not fixed.
What's changed? Nothing's changed. Still people peeing on walls?
Well, it's only day two and it just got approved. So now action. Right?
Action.
Everything's going to get speeded up. That's what this is supposed to do. Speed up.
Maybe
cut
tomorrow.
Cut the red tape.
You think tomorrow? Tomorrow there'll be action?
We'll look forward to tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
We'll be on this every day.
That's right.
Until we see success or everybody gives up for failure. Well, I was right when I said yesterday that this L.A. jury, which is meeting to determine the fate of Harvey Weinstein, he is facing 2 counts of forcible rape and 5 counts of sexual assault. There were 4 women. Of course, the trial went on for weeks, including the wife of Gavin Newsom, Jennifer Newsom. They passed the New York jury. Beginning today, they were at 28 hours deliberating, and they're back in there today. He has pleaded not guilty to all 7 charges. He initially faced 11. They dropped 4 because an unnamed woman dropped out.
Can you possibly imagine spending 28 hours of your life arguing with a bunch of morons on a jury? Can you imagine how excruciating that is?
It would be difficult.
Every time
I'm called for jury duty, I have that dreaded thought. I am going to get stuck on a long trial, and it's going to be people like that, yes.
Yeah. You have to do everything you can to get out of jury duty. Everything.
Everything you can.
That's right.
Well, including John's famous stand up and say, I already think he's guilty. That's my opinion.
That worked for me.
That, right? Yep. I believe in executing people.
Yeah. Immediately.
This is not a murder trial? Well, anyway.
Yo, execution for everyone.
That's right. All crimes. I believe in Saudi justice, Iranian justice. Producer Ray has been talking to one of the defense attorneys for Harvey Weinstein, Alan Jackson. Alan Jackson, I thought I knew the name. He used to be at the LA County DA's office. He was assistant head deputy for the Major Crimes Division.
That name is familiar.
He secured the conviction against Phil Spector. He was the prosecutor.
All right.
Now that's probably where you know the name. He's now a criminal defense lawyer with the Worksman Jackson. Is the name of the friend. We talked about Mark Worksman.
So he's on
the other attorney here is Alan Jackson.
He's on the team to defend Weinstein.
He is. I'm looking at his bio here on their webpage, and he won the exoneration of a high-profile Venice Beach hotel owner accused of murder. The case garnered national attention because of rising tensions between the homeless and the surrounding businesses. I have to look that one up. It does sound kind of familiar.
He killed a homeless guy?
Well, it may not have been a murder. It may have just been that the guy died in some way.
I don't remember that case.
He tried to clear out. I'll probably try to look that one up. But nobody knows what's going on with this jury. They have not sent any communications that I know of. Usually when a jury is deadlocked, at some point, a couple of things happen. They ask for a readback of evidence or a readback of testimony. They ask for evidence. They tell the judge, hey, we're deadlocked. We're not getting anywhere here. They're not doing that. Not to my knowledge.
How many women are involved in the charges against Weinstein?
There are 4.
4 women.
That's right. The other women that testified were just pattern of behavior. They're not part of the charges.
Well, I mean, it's not a...
4.
It's not a complicated case because for all
could
4...
Could be they're split on the women because, in other words, maybe they... believe some of the women, but I don't believe some of the other. They can convict them on some charges and acquit them on others.
Yeah,
they can do that.
Clearly, some of the jurors don't believe something, right?
Yes.
I mean, that,
unless, for God's sakes, it's the other way around, and they all want to acquit, and there's one juror that thinks we got to hold Weinstein accountable. No, probably not.
Yeah, that could be. I don't think these cases are never absolutes because there are a lot of people skeptical of women who make claims like this, especially, you know, actresses in a Hollywood culture where a lot of women have traded their bodies to get parts in movies. I've read a lot of Hollywood history, and that's gone on for 100 years. Many of the major female stars over the last 100 years have done that. Some of them have talked openly about it, didn't care.
Yeah, I never heard the New York jury. They went 26 hours, which is a little less than this. But I wonder if any of them, the reason they took a little longer, too, was the same thing you just described. Some of them thought, well, you know, with some of these accusers, this could be a case of that's just what happens. The casting couch of Hollywood.
I mean, because we've talked about this before, but hurdle number one is, why'd you go in the hotel room alone? That's
well,
tough
a lot of them said
of
they weren't alone. A woman escorted them and then disappeared on them. That
right.
was their story.
Right, but
some of Weinstein's operatives.
They didn't turn around and head for the door right away.
No, because this is still somebody that could give them their
all
big
right.
break.
All I can say is, because I've talked about this with normal people, right? Normal people try to equate it to their job, right? Would they go into a hotel room alone with a guy who's going to hire them, right? Especially if they were young and attractive. Would they do that? And most people would say no, because most people don't want jobs as badly as actresses want movie roles. See?
Right.
You know, if you're getting a job working customer service or you're a waitress, you don't need that job that badly. Well. And so they don't have the motivation to do it. And also there's a lot more street smarts where you know guys are predators. Some of the women seem so blinded with wanting to be famous that they don't seem to have that skepticism, those street smarts. Or maybe, you know, a lot of them don't care.
But you think about who he is and you think, oh, no, this is Harvey. He's not going to do anything. This is
right.
He's a big time movie producer. No way.
And he likes me. He's, you know, he can be very charming. A lot of these monster guys could be quite charming one-on-one in a room.
Yeah, they dole out compliments.
Right.
Is how they, right.
And I've heard guys like him make you feel like you're the only person in the world. And so you feel comfortable, you feel warm, you're about to get your big dream, and you get lured in. Normal people sitting on the sidelines are going, you kidding me? You fell for that? Really?
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. We can use the app to connect to the Moist Line, so here's a reminder to do that. A lot of people do. I think it was one day, like a lot of Moist Line calls we played were people who left the messages through the app. That's the microphone icon, the iHeartRadio app. The toll-free number for the Moist Line is 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Well, I saw this story over the weekend, and I have to say I got pretty excited. And I'm sure John will tamp down my excitement. But it is a long-held belief, I think really of both of us, that when there are these problems that people just carp about for years, the United States, Americans are very resourceful. And thanks to our great capitalist system and system of investment and entrepreneurship, we can sometimes overcome those problems with science. So the big announcement today came from a laboratory in Livermore, California. That's in the East Bay area. The National Ignition Facility at Lawrence Livermore National Lab. We're going to have more on this later in the show from Alex Stone, ABC News, but I just want to spend a couple minutes on it because while it could be decades away, this could be a major thing. They achieved something called ignition. That's right. They created a brief reaction that generated more energy than it consumed. It's all due to fusion research. And while they didn't generate much energy with the lab, the experiment that was the breakthrough, or as they call achieved ignition.
They proved the concept.
Right, that eventually it can happen on a larger scale. That's exactly what they're hoping. They did this through the same means that the sun uses to create energy. Kind of a weird story, but basically they have a $3.5 billion what's called National Ignition Facility. It's the size of 3 football fields. They would produce powerful reactions by smashing together or fusing. There's fusion. Hydrogen atoms into helium using these powerful lasers. The lasers generate intense pressure and heat, causing a rocket-like implosion that creates more than double the pressure at the core of the sun and sends temperatures soaring to more than 150 million degrees Fahrenheit, just like the sun, which ends up releasing a massive amount of energy. Now, you can do this, and they have done this dozens of times before, but what they just achieved was the first time that they got more energy out of it than they put into it. a term that they call ignition. That's their geek monkey name for it, scientific name for it.
And this is clean energy.
It is clean energy.
There's no greenhouse gases that come out of this.
Nope.
And
there's no nuclear waste.
That's right.
Right?
It is the ultimate. It's the holy grail of energy production. And they have been working on this for forever. Because if they could just replicate the sun's system of creating energy, and that seems to work really well.
They had 200 powerful laser beams focused, and they fire simultaneously. This actually sounds like a video game, doesn't it? Ready? Fire.
Yeah.
Onto two sides of a small metal cylinder, which is holding a capsule about half the size of a BB. That's how small this was. This is why it wasn't going to generate much energy, but it's a multi-step process. Extreme heat and pressure causes two forms of hydrogen atoms inside the capsule to fuse into helium and release high-energy neutrons and other forms of energy in a controlled, what they call, thermonuclear reaction. In a fraction of a nanosecond, about a billion times faster than you can blink your eye, the lab generated energy, more than it used to achieve that energy. The reason that this story is being downplayed a bit is that they have talked about using fusion to create a fabulous clean energy source for decades. I think it was even a longstanding joke within like the physics community that they
could draw it up on a blackboard very quickly.
Right.
But now you have to physically make it work. And you could see the way you described the experiment. You've got to have the lasers. You've got to have incredible speed. It's got to create the pressure and at an extent that our human brains can't even comprehend, the amount of pressure and the amount of heat that the collision created. And then how you translate that into something usable, right? You have this flash for a microsecond, but now, well, what do you do with it? How do you channel it into energy to power lights or automobiles?
Just think, though, how this could silence the whole stupid global warming debate.
Now,
but if it's decades away, that's still going to be a problem. But they've been at this since the 1950s, fusion-based energy technology.
Well, yes, and maybe one day it comes to pass. But this is what, you know, my favorite climate analyst, Bjorn Lomborg, has always talked about. And we've had him on the show a number of times, is that the way to deal with climate change, whatever we do to cause climate change, is going to be technological innovation. That's ultimately what's going to happen, because it's a fantasy to think that we are going to revert back to the way we lived in the 1800s. That is not happening around the world, and that's not happening anywhere. There's just a lot of talk, and I am absolutely convinced, and I've said this 100 times, the talk is to create a hysterical climate so they can put through all the taxation that they want and that they can run off with the money.
And they can cut back and tamp down the lifestyle that they don't like.
It's
people living out in the suburbs and driving cars and blah, blah, blah.
And it appeals to their control freak, dictatorial, totalitarian instincts. So it's two for one. They get to loot you a lot of your money, and they get to control how you live because of their arbitrary beliefs. But as far as it doing anything to affect the climate, it's going to have no effect, and never will have an effect. Most countries aren't going along with this because most countries want to grow. We apparently have grown enough, and we're not worried about growing any further, so we can start doing damage to ourselves. it's really just masochistic. You see the failed experiments all over the place. The failed experiments in Germany, the failed experiments in England, where they've tried to switch to alternative energies, and they fail all over the place, and it's going to hit California too.
Oh, we know that the wind and solar is not going to be able to fuel the country or the planet. It just cannot.
And alternative
energy sources are nice, but they're not going to feed the need for power in this world. So something like this is key, because this could be a big part of the answer to tamp down on that silly dream. Really?
Yeah, but you know what? They'll come up with something else, because it's in their nature to be totalitarians. It's in their nature to want to steal your money. So if it isn't this, it'll be something else. This happens to be the fashionable, trendy, woke period where everyone's going to fret about the climate. But human nature has fretted about the earth and the climate, and you know, thousands of years ago they prayed to sun gods and rain gods. It's always been that way. Everyone's always on the urge, on the verge of expecting apocalypse. Then it'll transfer in some other way, because it's a psychosis we seem to carry around with us collectively.
And you know, stuff we talk about on this show, the dopey LA city clowns, idiots like Gavin Newsom and even old Joe Biden. These scientists and researchers at this laboratory in Livermore, this is what really matters.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because honestly, this could be huge to solve a lot of the energy problems. Apparently, the net energy gain from this breakthrough the other day, it was a week or two ago, was about 2 megajoules in, about 3 megajoules out. So like I said, it's minimal, but what they have to do eventually is just get that on a larger scale, if they can do that. But that's what I'm talking about. That's what I always dream of and count on, that American ingenuity, and maybe it'll be Japanese ingenuity for something else, but American ingenuity and technology and research and people who are really putting their nose to the grindstone and probably ignoring the dopey world of the socials and everything else that distracts the rest of us. They may have come up with something incredibly significant here.
Right. These are the smart people, the accomplished people whose names we never hear from. Because the rest of our stupid society obsesses on Kardashians or the royal family or other nonsense people. Yes. But, you know, that's the world.
But behind the scenes, sometimes the real work is still going on. And I just wanted to point that out for 5 minutes because it's important to realize that there are some good things that can happen and maybe could end all the ridiculously long-term screaming and debate over this we've been having.
And no reason to act woke and hysterical.
All right, we got more coming up. It's the John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Steve Gregory will be along after 3 o'clock. They call it the urban interface. I don't know, that's what I'm reading here. This is the the problem with the coyotes and the mountain lions encroaching on the urban interface, or in Deborah Mark's backyard or somewhere.
Well, Deborah's right on the urban interface line.
Yes, I am.
She is. She's in some kind of hilly area,
On the border.
I have
one
tons
of these valley
coyotes.
Hilly areas, yes, right?
Lots and lots of coyotes.
Oh boy! Well, all right. Mountain lions, though, not yet.
I have not seen any, but I know that in an area where I hike often, which is very close to where I live, there are some there too.
I'll take my chance with a coyote every day, any day over a mountain lion.
Oh yeah,
mountain lions. I don't think you don't want to get attacked by a mountain lion that wants to put its teeth into you.
No.
But a coyote, it's like scuffling with a dog. You have a shot, don't you?
You do have a shot. I mean, especially since I have a taser, you know, it might scare him away.
Yeah, rabies shot.
Yeah, you don't want to get bit by a coyote because of rabies, but I'm talking about your life, Eric, not just getting rabies.
Yeah, you could fight
a mountain lion could tear your ears out.
They have really sharp teeth. I mean, if they get one good bite in.
Like a dog would.
You could lose a hunk of flesh.
They're probably tougher than a dog's teeth, but yeah, it's... So the California Department of Wildlife has taken a look at this, and because we've had these attacks. Coyotes are eating up dogs. Mountain lions are all over the place. And Steve will come on after 3 o'clock. I saw a story today. It was from Tennessee, though, where a bear got into the people's house. It was just standing there in a hallway. It's just kind of staring around. Didn't really understand what's going on. But a lot of it is back to the same reason. They're looking for food. They're all looking for food. The bear ended up sniffing around the garbage cans.
And we
coyotes are looking for the chihuahua. I don't know whether or not they eat them or they just carry them off, because sometimes it seems like they just attack them and leave them. But and the mountain lions, they like to hunt. And sometimes
it depends
it's about
if they
food.
Taste good. I don't know if a chihuahua tastes good.
You think it spits it out if it doesn't like the taste?
Yeah, I mean, I don't if there's not enough meat on it.
But chihuahuas, I mean, they're tiny little things. And they're always getting attacked because they're easy to grab.
Right, yes. But then you actually start chewing on it. It's like, yeah, there's not much here.
I'm thinking coyotes will eat them anyway if they're hungry enough.
I mean, it's an animal assessment. So what happens with coyotes is, yeah, the chihuahua's so small, it's like, I can get that. But a man standing there waving his arms and jumping up and down, the coyote thinks, nah.
When I lived in the hills.
Not going to bother with that.
When I lived in the hills near Benedict Canyon, one morning I went out in the driveway, and a coyote had gotten to a squirrel, and the only thing that was left was the tail, the bushy tail, and some bones. It was grim.
Okay, so a squirrel is smaller than a chihuahua.
Chihuahua, yes.
Well, maybe might have been tasty and fatty.
And coyotes have more access to squirrels than jumping in somebody's backyard and eating their chihuahuas.
No, I remember I had to get out a shovel and shovel it up, put it in a bag. You
know, P-22 is taking them right off the leash, right? That guy was walking his dog and P-22 grabbed it. Yeah. So, speaking of, this doesn't involve a coyote or a mountain lion, but apparently a guy in Westminster on Saturday left his dog. It looks like it's a boxer. In the truck while he went inside a business. The dog was on the front seat with the doors unlocked. And a guy came along. They've identified him, and I don't know whether or not he's a vagrant. Miguel Garcia Gonzalez got into the truck. And when the guy came back, he saw this guy in the truck with a knife in his left hand, and he was holding the victim's dog in a headlock. Don't ask me what this is about. I probably was a vagrant and a crazy person who just saw the dog in the truck and got some impulse to jump in there. And, it looked like he was going to stab the dog. So
was he going to eat the dog?
It's not clear. The dog owner grabbed the dog as a suspect swung the knife at him. The dog owner then used a stun gun.
Mm.
Yeah, to zap Miguel Garcia Gonzalez. And the police, he then detained him. And with the help of a store employee, they use zip ties to hold the guy down.
I bet you almost every, because there was that survey out the other day, huge percentage of people are armed in some way inside their cars.
Oh, yes. You
remember,
did
like,
say that,
like,
yes.
Like half the people had knives in their cars, and 30% had baseball bats, and 30% had guns.
Yeah.
And they were all, tire irons.
Right.
I'm wondering how many people are walking around with something on them. Pepper spray, stun guns, taser.
Maybe we should ask that question. Remember we used to survey the listeners about what they're using?
That'd be entertaining. Especially our crowd.
Yeah, we'll do that this week.
Yeah.
But this guy obviously had the stun gun on his person because he went into the store and he came back. He could see this guy in the front row of his truck holding the dog in a headlock. So he had it with him. And I guess that's probably a good idea. You have it in the car, and sometimes you should bring it with you in case you encounter trouble on the streets.
What kind of meth addict was this? Grabbing a dog and putting it in a headlock.
I don't know what kind of impulse that was that drove this guy to just hop into the truck and put the dog in a headlock with a knife.
It's the meth.
Was this his way of carjacking the...
dog jacking.
He thought the dog was the driver in his drugged, delusional state. He was like, I want to steal your car.
God, we're in a ridiculous society now, aren't we?
Well, here's your update on gas prices. Nobody talks about them much anymore because they are dropping. Here's the thing you have to keep in mind. They could be less than $4 a gallon by the end of the month. And we all remember the $5 craze, right? So that's significant.
$6.50 at its height.
Yeah, I know, but it was stuck at five something for a long time. This was expected. This has nothing to do with government policy so much as, of course, they got rid of the summer blend a couple months ago. We went to the winter blend.
And
which
oil prices have dropped a lot, and China is in an bad economic situation.
A slump, right, because of COVID.
Because they closed so much down that the expectation is that we're all headed to a recession, the whole world. So there's going to be less demand for oil in the coming months, maybe the coming year.
Yeah, by the way, whatever happened to their special session hearings over a windfall profits tax in Sacramento? I didn't hear any conclusion of that. There was a lot of coverage the first day and then nothing.
I don't know.
The oil companies didn't show up anyway, but... I don't know what they did with that, if they're going to come up with some piece of legislation.
It's such nonsense. It's such horse manure. I mean, it's a made-up issue that's been investigated repeatedly. And I saw, again, another news story, and this one was in the LA Times, and even they couldn't come up with anybody to say, yes, there's some kind of conspiracy. There's some kind of mechanism that allows the companies to gouge in California and nowhere else. But the prices are much higher because of the taxes and the hidden fees. There is an extra boost that they've claimed has been there since 2015 after an oil refinery had a fire, I think one in Torrance. And ever since that oil refinery fire, gas refinery fire. We've had this extra boost. I think it's like 20, 25, 30 cents, something
that
like
that. That was also
range.
Around the time, though, they passed all these climate taxes, and they had the carbon trading thing, and they did a whole lot to the whole gas price world back then.
See,
the average price in L.A. County of a gallon right now is $4.60. Now, last month it was $5.50. So obviously things are going in the right direction, but we're always going to be way higher than the rest of the country. And even though, yeah, the price of oil is tumbling, and you mentioned the Chinese markets are soft right now for their demand because they're having so many problems with COVID and they're keeping a lot of the factories closed and all that, we, for a couple of months, were headed the opposite direction. Our prices kept going up while it seemed like the price of a barrel of oil was going down. I mean, there was no explaining it. It was really out of control a couple of months ago. And the thing is, I don't think demand changed much. What would change demand a lot? I mean, all right, so summer driving tailed off. Is that what it is? California's really in just a horrible world by itself when it comes to the whole gas price.
Well, we're still number one on the mainland. Only Hawaii is more expensive than we are.
Yeah, we passed them for a while, didn't we?
Pass them, but we are still 27 cents higher than Nevada and 43 cents higher than Washington. The whole West Coast is the highest. The top five most expensive states, Hawaii, California, Nevada, Washington, Oregon, and then Alaska and Idaho. So that's seven states are all out west or out in the ocean.
All right, coming up next, Steve Gregory will be here. The California Department of Wildlife is looking into the problem that seems to be getting bigger the last few months with coyotes and mountain lions in neighborhoods and attacking dogs. And in the case of a little girl in the valley, a toddler got almost dragged away by a coyote. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.